Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 68 for March 5th, 2019 on timingresearch.com. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking, and we'll be getting through as many of those as we can today. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all Timing Research episodes now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or whatever else other app or directory you use for podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe there. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and Matt Buckley is back to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Matt.
Okay, David, welcome aboard, folks. Thanks for having me. As David said, my name is Matthew Buckley. Let me just knock out a quick intro of myself. If you're not familiar, welcome aboard. Very glad to be back working with David. And we'll talk to Jim and Christian in a second here. But my name is Matthew Buckley, call signs Wiz. Flew the F-18 Hornet for the United States Navy. On Sunday was Top Gun's anniversary, March 3rd, 1969, Top Gun started. So happy birthday to Top Gun. Taught myself how to trade stocks and options when I was a young naval officer, kind of applied everything I was learning, flying a fighter jet, being disciplined, having a strategy, managing risk, and contingency planning, and more importantly, not getting emotional about anything, being very analytical when something equals that or hits this or that, either fire, eject, or get out. Worked my way under the radar of one of the largest volatility arbitrage firms in the country. Well, now the world. It was called Peak Six Investments, headquartered right there in the Chicago Board of Trade. Helped start a hedge fund when I was there. Helped build the retail brokerage Options House, and was the founder and CEO of the Options News Network, ONN.TV. Used to shoot a bunch of different shows on the Board of Trade, and had an absolute blast doing it. Kind of felt like Valentine in trading places. Kind of went from being a little old retail trader up to the pros there, and then moved down here to South Florida, where I started Top Gun Options about 10 years ago. So with that, my two wingmen for today, we have Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, and obviously Jim Kenny over at OP. He's over at the optionprofessor.com. So Christian, over to you, my friend. Why don't you give us a quick intro and a quick executive summary? And you might be on mute, or maybe not. Now I got your screen, and I can hear you.
All right, cool. Yeah, I believe I was flying over your area just the other day. I went to the Bahamas just for a quick 4-day vacation. So I was going right over there. But I can't believe how close the Bahamas are. So anyway, really nice vacation, nice flight over.
And I think are you still there, man? I lost you. You cut out.
Now you're back. I don't know why I'm going in and out. But in any event, I started Tribeca Trade Group 3 years ago. Previous to that, I was a institutional trader over at Merrill Lynch, where basically I traded every product out there on the equity trading floor, stocks, ETFs, indices, futures, so on and so forth. And I started Tribeca Trade Group 3 years ago. What we do there is...
lost you again.
Yeah, Christian, you cut out again.
Just like that song in the 90s, jiggle it just a little bit. So, there you are.
Right, you're back. You guys can move on. Sorry, I'm gonna have to just reset my my mic. It's on low battery. So
yeah, go ahead.
I'll be back in a minute. Thanks, right, guys.
You bet. So Jim Kenny, well known. Sure. If you don't know Jim, he's a legend in the options industry. Been around for a while. Jim, give us your background and what you do over there at the Option Professor.
Sure. Real quick, I'm the content provider here at the Option Professor and have been for decades. So we did live seminars for many years throughout the nation and into Canada as well. And now we're doing mostly webinars. And we specialize in options, educating people on the uses and risks. I'm real big on using them for a hedge or a defensive tactic. And from time to time, it can be very, very helpful, like in December when you get the bottom to fall out. And if you have any kind of a hedge on, you're certainly going to feel better. And every week, I give you a market update on the Option Professor podcast. And at the end of the broadcast, we'll explain how you could get the link to that every week. And we go over everything from the stock market, the bond market, where interest rates are going. We also go over the dollar, and we also go over some of the different commodities like gold, etc. So we try to keep you in the loop on income, on growth, and on speculation, and give you my opinion every week.
That's great. And obviously hedging was very important. You're right, back there in December. And even now, I mean, we've had this V-shaped recovery.
Let me just interject real quick. One thing I use as an example in an article I wrote was on Boeing. Boeing went up to like almost $450. The 200-day average is at 356. If you sold the 470 call as a theoretical example and bought the 430 put, you'd still have 30 more bucks on the upside potential, even after the big rally, but you'd have a floor at 430 and the market's already at 430, and who knows if it's going to correct further. So from time to time, these hedging tactics can be very effective.
Correct. And with those tactics, you can actually use the premium collected on one option to help you pay for the other one, which is great. So you don't even have to come out of pocket sometimes. So, okay, good. Christian, did you make it back, man?
Present, mic fixed, ready to go.
All right, man, over to you.
So are we going right to the tickers or do you want me to just...
No, go ahead with a quick intro.
Okay, sure. So what I was saying is I started Tribeca Trade Group 3 years ago. What we do is basically we watch the tape all day long. We kind of look for trade ideas. I'm a momentum trader as well as a trend trader. So that's basically what I do is just give out trade ideas, manage the trades from beginning to end, and just provide day to intraday commentary as we go along and what we're seeing on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, perfect. All right, guys. If everybody looks at the bottom of the screen, you can see David's got the list of tickers up that you all suggested that we cover. So we'll just keep that same batting order with Christian, Jim, and then myself. And we'll probably go for about 45 minutes until about a quarter after five. So with that, let's go with Facebook. Christian, what are you thinking?
Yeah, pretty interesting, right? Facebook, it's been very dormant since earnings, and had that nice gap up on earnings. And then it's been so quiet in this name, right? I mean, there's been a lot of headlines in this name, but it kind of did a little bit of a fake out here, caught the 20-day moving average, which is this light blue line that I've got on my chart, found the support there, tried to get going a bit, stalled for a couple days, and coming to life. And it kind of seems like all of the FANG stocks have been pretty quiet all year long, all of 2019. They really haven't participated in the melt up that we're seeing right now or the last couple weeks. And it looks like there's a little bit of a rotation into FANG stocks. I don't really have the reason for it, but it looks like Amazon, Google are also catching a bit as well. So, I mean, I think right now, very simple. I think if you like Facebook, or if you don't want to call it Facebook because of all the press that it's been getting, maybe you call it Instagram these days because that's what kids are doing these days. And you could go long Instagram at the 200-day moving average and use that as your stop. And you could see you've got a couple big volume areas. I think the first one would be 176 if you're long, where you could take a target. The next is quite a bit up there, but keep it simple and maybe long versus the 200-day moving average here.
What's the other thing? WhatsApp. It's either get long WhatsApp, Instagram, and don't call it Facebook with all the roaches in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Jim, what do you think about Facebook?
I think this is going to be very similar to the overall market in that if we are if the big leg up here to 2820 was the end of the first run and we're going to have a pullback off of that number, then this thing is going to have a pullback. If we're going to continue up like we did when we went from 2700 area down to 2680 for one day and then jammed up to 2800, and if we just pulled back to 2670 on the S&P and we're going to jam up to 2940, which is the highs, then this thing is going to continue to run. But I suspect that it's possible that it may not do that. The technicals, as far as the moving averages, are a little sloppy. You got a 50-day average at 151, 200-day average at 165, yet the market's at 171. So as far as this company is concerned, the target on a lot of analysts is in the 195 to 200 area. I don't argue with that, providing obviously everything stays as it is, which means the Fed stays out of the picture, et cetera. But in the short run here, this 2820, if it is going to be a level that is going to roll over, then obviously this thing can roll over as well. But longer term, if things stay as they are, Fed out of the picture, this company's only 22 times earnings. And so going up towards 195 possible. But like I say, right now, it's had a very big run. I'd probably leave it alone.
Yeah, it's funny. I use the term Captain Kirk trades. Back in the day, Brazil was a Captain Kirk trade. It's one of the best performing positions we have with the EWZ. FXI, the China ETF, was kind of a Captain Kirk trade. But now those are solid trades for us. I've actually moved Facebook over into my Captain Kirk for a couple reasons. I'm actually heading out skiing on Saturday for about a week. And I bring that up because this time last year when I was out skiing, I remember being on the chairlift when the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal broke. And I was almost fell out of the chairlift because I can't stand Facebook. It has got so many fleas. And I will not to use salty sailor language, but I am a sailor, but I will actually quote the CEO of Facebook when he, in an email exchange with a buddy who said, "You wouldn't believe it, man. I have all these people's names, social security numbers, birthdays. It's crazy." And the guy said, "Hey, how did you get that?" He's like, "These people just gave it to me. Those dumb fucks." So that's the CEO of Facebook, folks. So about a year ago, I said, "Dump Facebook, get out of it. It's awful. Where there's one roach in the kitchen, there's a ton." About 3 months later, a guy that manages a little fund, his name is Jeffrey Gundlach from Double Line Capital. It's about $100 billion fund. The guy said the same thing, "Get the hell out of Facebook." So for the past year, Facebook's been, it's been Fredo. It's been dead. You know, you're dead to me, Fredo. It's been dead money. Hold on. Let me get rid of this. The picture's worth 1,000 words here. You can figure out. It's essentially been flat and dead money. It's been, it's down about 7% in a year with some massive, I remember this earnings report. Hell, even Jim Cramer's like, somebody should go to jail for not pre-reporting how bad they were. But, as Christian said, ever since this gap up on earnings, we've just kind of moved sideways. I'm not a Facebook guy. My kids aren't. They're like Christian said, it's more of an Instagram type of story. If you believe in this, well, let me say this. Let me wrap up on this. It's a hold your nose trade to me. Meaning, if you can stomach the occasional, holy crap, Facebook is a really bad, dirty company, but they make money, then get in it. You know, it is going to be one of those. I had another bad headline here. I forget where it went on Facebook that essentially said that, like, hey man, if you don't mind holding your nose, the Facebook ain't going out of business tomorrow. I get that my kids have an open Facebook account, so they don't even know what Facebook is. It's kind of a quote older person thing, but they're moving on over to the Instagram platform and all that stuff. So to me, short story long, Facebook is a hold your nose trade. If you want to get in it, know that you could wake up. You just have to factor in the account that Great Britain, the United States, all these countries might be jumping in with both feet to regulate a lot of legal issues. So this is a little bit of a, this trade is not without risk. Being long Facebook is definitely not without risk. You guys got anything to say on that?
Nope. I may have to use that hold your nose trade. I like that analogy, but I think I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just, it is what it is. It's one of those trades that they're going to be in the, they're definitely going to be in the headlines. And sure, that's something that you have to be aware of if you're in there.
Well, and yeah, it's just, it's one of those things. I tell members at Top Gun Options, I wear two suits in theory. I wear my flight suit, and I'm going to tell you how I feel as an American. And then I wear my Gordon Gekko $6,000 Armani suit and feel it. So as Gordon Gekko, think it's a good trade. I don't care what they do with your data. I hope they sell everything and screw you. As an American wearing a flight suit, I think it's an awful company. I'll leave it at that. So, all right, man. Christian, over to you. I don't even know what this thing is, so hopefully you do. But what is DDD?
So this is in the wheelhouse of what really has momentum right now. This is another Chinese internet company, right? So they're an e-commerce company, and they're flying. They've got earnings. I think the thing that you want to be, I don't have any more history on it because it is a newer name. So that kind of antes up the risk a little bit. First of all, Chinese internet has another level of risk to it, but it's a newer name. So,
like they could shut it down in an instant.
Right. Overnight. What happened to my, so of course, and that's happened before in a group of names before too, when they come in and decide that they want to regulate something. So I think, that just kind of dovetails right into, with any trade, right? How much do you want to risk? Make sure that you've got the right position size on for something in this area. But they do have earnings. Right now we are seeing these names really carry momentum. I'm just looking ahead to some of the other names that are on the list, like Hua, which had a huge day today. But they're going to have earnings on 313. So maybe it continues to run into the number. And then I think for earnings, it's going to be one of these names that I haven't looked at the implied move, but it's probably going to be about a 15% implied move for options. So, you kind of just have to bear that in mind. And and take a look at what some of these other names have done. You know, what I'm doing right now, you know, a name that reports tomorrow is BZUN, and I had shares on, and I kind of just substituted out and went into a little bit of calls today. And I think there's a little bit less risk if you're going to play it that way. But the trend is up, but they're highly unpredictable, and we'll see if it carries momentum into earnings.
Yeah, I think the key word there is just risk. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of other places to potentially look to make some alpha that ain't as risky. So, Jim, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it's about 36% above its 200-day moving average, which is kind of overbought. It looks like something that people are plowing into, though. Although the 50-day volume is 6.3 million shares a day versus the 200-day of 6.7. So it's not a huge increase in the average volume. This thing obviously could go wherever it wants to go. They do have options on it, so you might want to have a married put strategy on there just in case they blow out the candles on this. This is obviously a fairly new company. What it's just started to look like last year, in the middle of last year. So with very little data behind it, it's basically a momentum gamble. And, you know, you live by the sword, die by the sword on this one.
Well, yeah, I think Jim just hit the nail on the head there. And anytime you hear the word somebody say gamble, you know that's exactly what you're doing. And you definitely don't want to own the stock. Don't buy the cow here when you can get it potentially for free with options. So like I jokingly said, I have no idea what this is. And Christian educated me. He lost me at the word China and then lost me even more at the word internet. So be very, very careful with this stuff, folks. And as Jim alluded to, it would be a gamble. So, but you know, the market, folks, is a self-cleaning oven, right? They're not going to pay you not to take risk. You know, the options market, especially, is not stupid. It's very, very efficient. And as a matter of fact, you know, arbitrage opportunities are few and far between, especially for humans. You know, that's what the boxes who become self-aware and kill us all eventually are doing right now. So Chinese internet, whatever, fill in the blank, it ain't for whiz. And I'm gonna pass on this one, man. So let's go. Let's do ABB, which I do know a little bit about. But Christian, you take a spin at it first.
Yeah, sure. So it's interesting. This thing was hot about a year ago in this big move up here. We saw a lot of call activity, a lot of institutional money. And then the thing has just kind of fallen apart. And I just have completely, it's funny because as hot as this thing was for, you know, about 6 months, it's gone radio silent right now. In terms of the technicals now, and I don't, you know, I don't know if they missed on a couple drugs. Maybe they had a couple trials that went wrong. I think something like that from my memory. But I think right now it's kind of in no man's land. So I'm going to say an avoid right now, because I think it's just too far away from anything that I can grasp onto, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. don't have, you're below all the short-term moving averages. It's probably at this time a value play, which everybody likes to say value when something's down a lot. So,
that's true.
But if you look even at the weekly, I don't really have anything to grasp onto. It's below value and it's got a long way, you know, to even get there. So this 78 to 85, it could see a bounce here, but you know, maybe you could use this, but I would just say plain and simple for me and avoid.
Yeah, it looks like dead money. And Jim, as you know, the options market ain't going to pay you to make money on dead money, even like selling upside calls or something like that. So what are you thinking about with this one?
I think this thing's hanging on for dear life right around this 80 mark. And I think that it's about only 7% underneath its 200-day average. So it's not oversold by any means. And again, it seems like it's $117 billion market cap. So it's not one of the ones that are probably going to be taken over or anything like that, I wouldn't think. Again, biotech, you know, is another live by the sword, down by the sword kind of sector. So, you know, if you get into biotech, you're going to roll dice. And if you roll dice correctly, you're going to get well paid. Mm-hmm. I think it might not be a bad idea, any of these things with the biotech and these high flyers, if you can incorporate a hedging tactic with the options, because if you're right, the volatility should be plenty to pay for your insurance. But if mm-hmm. the volatility goes the other way, rather than get whacked, you at least have some kind of Band-Aid out so the bleeding stops. So my feeling is that, you know, that's the way I'd play it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And the last symbol, Jim used the word gamble. This time he used rolling the dice. So I think we're seeing a trend with at least these names. When I was up at a big firm up there in Chicago, biotechs were red. We just did not trade those. When you learn the stove's hot, you usually don't go back and touch it in case you're an idiot. What was it? It was Immunogen. I remember
I had that.
Oh boy.
$1.75 and the darn thing went to 44. Unfortunately, I waited till 30 to get out, but yeah. Still, that was a hell of a ride. And that was like right around the turn of the century.
Yeah, the turn of the century. This one, this was like, oh, 07 or 08. It was, I'll never forget this guy. He's like, oh man, it passed its phase one, phase two, and there's no, was it four phases? Whatever. Phase three. He's like, there's no way in hell, Wiz, that it won't pass its phase four trial. Breaking news, whatever, failed its phase four trial. The stock's down 80%. I'm like, holy shit. $4 million in the blink of an eye. Stock was down 80%. So I am not this is a red symbol for me. I do not trade any of this stuff. You are one congressional, one breaking news announcement from, the trailer park. No offense. So just don't, if there's, I got to be honest with you. I mean, hell, and this guy was the biotech analyst. You know, there's never in the history is nothing past a phase four, except this one. And now you're broke and now you don't have a job. So let's not, I'm going to punt on this one too. I don't trade biotechs. It's even more gambling than the P. Diddy stock above there. All right, let's move on to something that's American. Let's go with Target. So how are you feeling about this one, Christian?
Yeah, I'm going there in a couple hours. No, I'm just kidding. Target, had a nice pop on earnings. I think they upside surprised on their earnings. They did a little bit better than what people were expecting. I think if you're in it, I would think that you're taking some profits. There is this if you really want to split a hair, there's the 200-day moving average. I also see a big volume area that you can maybe get to 77.30. For me, it's kind of like the stock that we just looked at before. I think they're just, unless you really like Target and what they're doing, I think they're swimming against the tide in terms of department store. There's just other places that I would rather be in this market. I don't see any really differentiating thing about Target, Walmart, that, I think they're always going to be running against Amazon. So I would just rather be in that stock than to try to kind of fight the fight with Target. So I think if you're in it, congrats on the earnings and maybe take some money off the table.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah. Well, it looked like it's going up to try to fill that gap. And, if you watch enough TV, you'll go crazy. But I was watching financial news the other day, and it did say there was inordinate put activity in Target. And the next thing I know here, it's up $3 today. So you can't just go on inordinate activity, I guess. That's the moral to that story.
Exactly.
But the point being is, if it was that easy, we all be coining money down in the basement. But the point is retail itself, obviously got knocked off in the fourth quarter and is trying to make a bit of a comeback. Very similar to many companies, this has got a sloppy technical picture, meaning the 50-day average is 69, the 200-day is 77, you're trading at 76. That leads me to believe that the most likely outcome here in the near future, at best, would be some type of a range, and at worst, some type of a correction. Because again, the sloppiness of the moving averages is indicating to me that we've come very fast, very far, and that maybe people are going to sober up for a little while.
It's a great point. A couple of good points that both you guys made. First, Christian, I couldn't agree more. I think Amazon literally is the Death Star, and it's the blob that's eating everything. Their announcement yesterday about the brick and mortar and the groceries and outside of their Whole Food expansion. Target ain't going out of business tomorrow, but when you're dealing, when you're Alderaan and you got the Death Star looming nearby, your time might be limited. I'm worried about Target here because it was two earnings ago. I mean, the Target CEO could not have been, Q3 or Q4 earnings. I remember, I think the CEO was on Comedy Central, on CNBC there, Comedy Central, and the dude could not have been more bullish. He said, he's been in the retail sector, could not be more bullish. Oh my God, stock went down. I mean, but remember that earnings period where even Jamie Dimon came out with, man, things couldn't be better. Stock went down and the world imploded back there in December. This time around, they're starting to get a little bit worried about the consumer. I mean, the Atlanta Fed came out with a Q1 GDP prediction of 0.1%. Seems like the consumer, we're getting a little bit of brown shoots and green shoots, and the consumer might be slowing down. So kind of with Christian there, I almost would take some profits here. And obviously, Jim's thinking it might fill the gap here. I think you get better alpha out of an Amazon than you do out of Target. I mean, it's not, like I said, ain't going to have business tomorrow, but it's just someplace else I'd rather be. All right. What's that? Delphi, over to you, man.
Yeah, Delphi. So it's an auto parts company. I was just looking, the PE ratio is like a 5. Not that matters in trading anymore, but it's pretty, it's valued very cheap, but there's probably a reason for that. So technically what I would do, I mean, I would not initiate a position here personally. If you're in a trade and looking for a little bit of guidance in the trade, I would say it's definitely moving up from the lows. So let it play out and use a stop of 21.13. If I move over and I could tell you there's a pretty good resistance level up at 25. If I move over to the weekly chart, if you're not familiar with this concept, it's volume at price, which gives you this value area. So where all the buying and selling occurred in the previous one standard deviation around the previous volume profile. So you got a pretty stiff level of resistance at 25. That's where I would look to take profits if you're in it and looking for a little bit of guidance, but use that stop and you can never go wrong.
Yeah, and it's a good point, Christian. You know, people are... often say, hey, well, with this stock, it's cheap. I'm like, it's cheap for a reason, man. Mm-hmm. Things that they just don't, you know, things don't go on sale because they're in the mood to do it. You know, stocks are at a price for a reason. If you believe in price discovery and that at that given moment, everything that is known about the stock is factored into it. So it's a 22.48 for a reason, folks, not because, you know, the company wants it to be there from a high. What's that? Beginning of 2018, all the way up there at 60. So, Jim, what do you think about Delphi?
I think you're looking at a bounce back rally. It went down to $13 in the end of December, so let's call it a couple of months to go or so. And at that point, with the 200-day average probably at around 32 or 33, you're getting to be about 50, 60% underneath the 200-day. That's a pretty big washed out thing. You certainly, in my personal opinion, don't start shorting when it's 57% underneath the 200-day. So if Tom, Dick, and Harry all got short, because the short interest is at around 5 or 6%, you know, you're going to be looking at some short covering rally here, particularly when the board goes up, 700 or 400 S&P points. So, you know, anybody who sold this thing when it was up at 60 or shorted it on the way down, you know, obviously they're going to want to cover. And obviously when they all want to cover and nobody's there to buy, the guy on the other side of the trade raises the offer, which is basically what's mm-hmm. gone on. So I'm not into this thing other than it might be bouncing back. It doesn't look like a total turnaround. Pace 3% correct. Dividend, but when you get down to a 5 valuation, you wonder if the dividend is safe, you know?
Correct. Yeah, if I were going to do something like this, it would be, I mean, if you're long-term bullish, well, that's interesting. They only go out to a decent 19 expiration. They don't have a longer series. That's weird. Huh. Are you guys seeing a longer... Usually, we got Jan 20s and 21s out here. That's odd. Huh. Well, don't know what the hell that means. But I was going to say, if you're long-term bullish, you just like it and you want to buy, you know, maybe you buy some deep in the money 0.8 delta calls and put them in your filing cabinet. But that's awkward that they don't have them that series that far out.
Yeah, maybe nobody wants to write calls on something that's fallen 70% in value with a 2-year handle on it.
Jim, that's what I was good. That's what the conclusion I was getting to is like, well, somebody maybe told them that we're not that interested in putting these that far out. So there's a potential canary in the coal mine here, guys. You look at almost anything else and you got the leaps all the way out here and their leaps stop, which is interesting. All right, man, let's move over to Sina Corp over in the tech industry. Christian, what are you seeing with Sina?
Yeah, so another Chinese internet, and I completely understand why these are on the list, right? I mean, they've been running a lot of them. There's three or four had earnings last night, and they're an interesting bunch. I mean, when they catch momentum, these things have been flying. So Sina, and we're going to go over Hua next, HUYA. So I think this will just go very nice into this one. But for whatever reason, this one, they didn't like it for earnings. It's down 4%. And it's got a pretty big barrier of the 200-day moving average. I think there's better fish in the sea. I'll put it that with Sina. I would say if you're in it and, you know, because there is a channel break and this thing is definitely run in channels. The support that I see is 61.36, but I think it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, that's it. I like the channel concept and maybe throwing an iron condor here. here, but again, whenever you use the word China and internet, there's risk in that. So Jim, what are you thinking of seeing?
Well, again, I think it's coming back up because you've had a pretty big move in the Chinese market this year, right? Very strong move to the upside. So obviously people don't want to be short anything that has an A at the end, right? So the bottom line here though is where is it really going? Again, the same thing as I've been saying throughout the show, sloppy technicals on the moving averages. Your 200 days at 59, your 50 days at 59 and your 200 days at 70, we're trading right in the smack in the middle. So, you know, does this thing possibly go higher? You know, 70 might be a little bit of a wall of resistance using that 200 day. If the China deal starts evaporating or they come up with some kind of watered down coffee and call it a deal, you know, that could be a problem because again, you've had a very big jump in China this year. And if the news does not come out as people have bet, there's a lot of people might want to go the other way. I love Baba between 135 and 145, but I'm not excited about it at 190 as much.
Correct. Well, let's move into, I'm going to sit on the pine for both of these. I'm going to steer the conversation. Let's at least cover this one. Let's cover Hua, guys. And then I want to ask you guys a question because Jim, you just alluded to what I want to get to, but Christian, cover Hua first.
Yeah. Hua. So, you know, another
stock? That sounds like a Kramer stock, right?
Let me get my cowbell.
Well, you know, you got to have a little bit of fun, right? Hua is again, same thing, China internet name. This one, you know, had results. They beat results today. I mean, this is one of these momentum names where you got to basically buckle up. I traded this thing today and I got out of it a little bit before the close today. So I was in this thing just for a couple hundred shares and I got in around 27, got out at 29, and I'll kind of revisit tomorrow. But it's one of those things, again, you know, it's going to have a lot of momentum to it. So if you're going to play in this area, make sure that your size is that you know what you're dealing with. You know, look at the ATR, look at the volatility of these names. I'm not saying stay away from them because they certainly can move very quickly, but I would just kind of set up camp for tomorrow. I mean, look at the volume on this thing today. And basically, you know, just use a trailing stop at this point and just make sure you're playing it with the right size. You know, as we've said already, that these things are super risky, but if you want to play it for a day trade while this thing has a range like this, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive move. I mean, up 22% a day. I mean, that's huge. So, Jim, what are you thinking?
I'll give you a tip on where the buying came from. There's 13, almost 14% short interest. So you get a beat on it and a stock.
There's
gone
a squeeze. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, somebody went home and had to explain to their wife that they have no more money. So anyway, that's a very big jump. And the other thing about the volume is that is off the chart volume, right? But obviously somebody sold into it as well. And in the aftermarket, I'm not seeing any follow through on that stock at all. So correct. I don't know if this was a one day wonder as far as every Tom, Dick and Harry who was short was trying to get out. Market maker raises the offer, takes in all the action. He knows there's nobody's going to buy this thing behind it possibly. And now he's going to look for getting his money back because he's short at 30 and the 200, the 50 day moving average is down at 19. So he probably might feel pretty comfortable selling all you can at 30 when the 200, when the 50 days down at 19. Hello?
Did we lose Matt?
Sorry, guys. I'm talking to myself. Let me follow up with this, guys. Do you, knowing that most likely this pop is a short squeeze and then short squeezes end, right? I mean, they bit dudes that scrambled after they went home to their wives crawling on broken glass and unwind the position. Do you guys step in here and get bearish on it? As you know, either just sell, you know, selling a bear call spread, doing a bearish double vertical. Do you guys step in here and try and, or is it too much of a risk in a freight train? Christian,
Christian?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I think there's too much momentum. I mean, I wouldn't even play this with options because, you know, the implied volatility is so jacked up because you do have the earnings event, you do have the short interest, which Jim said, which is very important. But I would strictly be playing this one only in stock because I think the options, you know, and then I looked at the end of the day while I was in this thing today, and I said, do I want to be selling upside, you know, out of the money calls? And I'm like, well, I could look at the, you know, the 30 strike call, but I'm like, the thing just went from 25 to 29. So, you know, I wouldn't play that game either. Personally.
Well, it's interesting to say it because, you know, as an options as an options guy. And Jim, you can jump in here first. As soon as you say the volatility is through the roof, my mouth starts watering and I'm salivating. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think, Jim?
Or you spread them to neutralize the volatility that way. But the point is that this is a Geiger counter for somebody who's looking for trouble. It goes from 50 down to 14, then it goes right back, and all the moving averages are pointing down. Everyone got short. Now they're rallying it back up. And obviously, you don't want to step in front of a freight train because obviously there's still tons of people. Looks like they could still be short. But on the other hand, as soon as that short covering ends, people might start looking at the fact that they're losing $2 a share. And they might say to themselves, maybe I don't want to own this thing. So it looks like a Geiger counter for trouble to me. And I there's got to be someplace else to go.
Yeah, it's got potential danger written all over it. You know, if volatility is high for a reason, and you know the options market, as we said, it's a self-cleaning oven, and they ain't going to pay you for nothing. But if short squeezes end, folks, they don't go on forever. And when they end, sometimes the stock ends up getting pounded back down to where it should be. Like Jim said, all the way down here at the 50-day moving average down here at 1920 bucks. That's a big delta, and that's a lot of airspeed to the downside if they want to fill that gap. So if you want to step in here, maybe sell a bear call spread or something like that that's got limited risk, you know, good on you, but as Christian said, that ain't without risk there. So let me, since I know a couple of us have to split by a quarter after, a little after that, here's what I want to do with the rest of our time, because we are talking about China and all sorts of stuff. Let me ask you guys, since I know a lot of my members, this is a big concern, and Christian, let me tee this up to you, and I know I'm catching you guys cold, but I love the thinking on the feet. Is, in your opinion, is the trade deal built into this market? Because Jim, you were kind of alluding to, hey man, you know, if we don't get the deal we want, you know, this was a big recovery. What are you guys thinking about, you know, if Trump's meeting Xi in a couple weeks north of me here in Palm Beach? What does the market do on a trade deal? Christian, why don't you go first? Or how are you trading a potential trade deal?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a great question, and definitely something that I think you want to think about, right? I mean, we're getting, you know, every week there's one of these headlines about the deals getting closer and getting closer. I mean, I think we're getting pretty much priced in, right? I mean, we saw what happened on, I guess, Sunday night. Futures rallied on the headline, and then you come in and we saw profit taking. So I think we're going to get a similar result. I think it's getting pretty much priced in. So I don't think, and you know, it's kind of what I'm telling my members is that, you know, I don't think you're gonna see a big 2-3% move to the upside. If we do have it, I think it gets sold. I think profit takers, you know, come in a little bit. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's, you know, if something like that happens and it's priced in, I don't think that we necessarily start falling again. I just think, you know, it's priced in. It's going to be a muted reaction. Maybe some profit taking comes in for a day or two. But, you know, we've already had that big volatility. I think there was a number of reasons that we saw the move that we saw in the back of 2018. But one of those was, you know, of course, the Fed tightening a little bit, you know, too hard and too fast. And number two, I do think that the tariffs were really affecting global trade. So you take them away and the market can kind of do what it wants to do and not be so much held captive by trade tariffs. I think we just kind of go back to normal. But I would not be expecting a big rally on the announcement. I think it will be more of a fizzle, because I think more and more the probability is getting closer and closer. You know, probably it was a 20 delta about a month ago, and now it's probably like, what, a 75 delta or an 80 delta? I don't know where, you know, somewhere in that band of we're getting closer to 100% that this deal is going to happen. Now, if it falls apart and it doesn't happen, then I think we could have, I mean, we're sitting with a VIX below 15, you know, if by chance, I think the risk is starting to turn that if they don't get anything done, we might see another drop.
Or if they do get something done and the market kind of, I mean, Trump's shooting for the moon here. And I think there's a lot of expectations in here. The guy keeps saying comprehensive deal, but not only that, is it going to be worth the paper it's written on? Jim, what do you think? Is this deal factored in?
Yeah. Now here's my opinion on what's going on right now. We've obviously bid it up because of the anticipation of a deal. Trump, you know, went over there, and the first Asian man that he met over in Asia obviously didn't give him what he wanted, and he went home with no deal. This next situation, he's dying to sign some forms down in Mar-a-Lago this month. He probably, you know, is going to be very, very flexible on what he signs, so he gets something on the books. My feeling is that the market will tell us exactly what's going on, and they'll tell us in this way. If we start taking out the 28.20 recent high and the VIX goes back down into the 13.12 area, we're obviously going to make a run at the high, and it's probably going to be very good news out of the China deal. If we take out last week's lows in the Russell and the S&P and the transports, and the VIX starts trading 15, 17, 18, 19, they're probably going to be a bad deal or no deal, and you're going to confirm that this 28.20 number we just saw may be the first leg up top. And I think it's going to be pretty much like that. Because again, when the market was at 23.50, you know, I believed we were going to snap back towards the 200-day moving average, which we did, and every dip was a buy. Once we got through the 200-day average, then again, some of the Elliott waivers were saying 28.20 with a best-case scenario of 29.40. So I still respect the fact that you could go to 29.40, but I'll respect it a heck of a lot less if we take out last week's lows and the VIX jumps above 17.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's a great analysis. I think the market ignored a lot of what happened yesterday in their, what is it, their annual conference or something like this. You know, they dropped their Made in 2025 slogan, and their economy ain't doing well. They actually lowered their GDP forecast. They had their, their two PMIs came out last Wednesday night our time, and they sucked. China ain't looking too hot, and you know, Trump has a point. You know, he wants to get a win-win deal, but at the end of the day, this ain't a win-win deal for China. They're going to end up coming out of pocket, whether it's, say, we're buying some rice or some soybeans, whatever it is, it's something. But I'm of the opinion, guys, that they're going to, first of all, the three biggest centers of gravity that we need to have a good trade deal, even if they agree to, I'm not going to believe a word of it. The forced technology transfer, stealing everything that ain't nailed down, all the intellectual property, and Chinese subsidizing of every freaking business, more or less, in China. I mean, President Xi, like 2 months ago, gave a speech where he said, we're not changing fundamentally what the hell we do as a country. So, you know, everybody can kind of kiss my ass. So it looks, I don't know, man. You know, this time last year, the president would send out a tweet that says, hey, just talk to Xi, going to get a deal. Market's up 500 points. Now it's, even if we get a, hey, Xi's flying to Mar-a-Lago on March, you know, 22nd, I'm with you guys, man. I think the market gives it a little bit of a shrug. And I don't know if we're going to believe what it's written on. I guess final question to you guys is, and especially to you, Jim, if you, let me bring that S&P back up here. I mean, to get from down here to, you know, that wherever we are, this quadruple top, so to speak, back up to the escalator, whatever it was, that 29.40. What's the, so we put the Fed to bed, like you said, Christian, so to speak. Earnings are in the rearview mirror, but can be coming up here. What's the catalyst after a trade deal to get us going higher? Does that make sense? What do you guys think?
I think it just has to be miscalculations. In other words, if they miscalculated like they did on GDP, they're supposed to be coming in 1.9, it comes in at 2.6, that's a 40% miss. So if they've miscalculated earnings this year, that would be one of the reasons that it would take off. And then, of course, if people, because they're retiring so much stock, you know, these companies keep buying it back and the amount of stock available is shrinking dramatically. If people are willing to pay a higher multiple just to get some stock before these guys buy all their stock back, you know, that True. Could also be, there could be a factor there.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that we've had this year-to-date rally. I know you guys talk to a lot of smart money too. Not too many institutional guys I know are in this. They've been sitting on the sideline. This has been a, you know, the number one buyer of the S&P 500 year-to-date has been the S&P 500. So it's going to be interesting. So Christian, what's your take on what's the catalyst to get us higher there?
Yeah, and I, you know, you guys both touched upon a bunch of really, really good points. I mean, I think as well that it's going to be one of these deals, like a handshake deal, but I think it's going to be more about like reducing the tariffs on both sides. I don't think structurally, just as you mentioned, that they're going to change, like China's not going to change anything. And they may just say, hell yeah, yeah, we're going to do that. But you know, I don't think they're going to necessarily change their actions.
Correct.
So, but still, I think even if, so I just don't think that's going to be able to be changed, but I think it'll be good if you just take off the, you know, make it more free trade on both sides. I think that's enough of a win. Catalyst, you know, that's again, a great thing to think about. about. And I think you brought up a good point saying like the institutions are not in this. They're sitting with a lot of cash balances. So at some point, I think that, you know, there has been some money. I mean, I think really the cash and the market money cash balances were so high at the end of the year. There has been some of that money that's been redeployed, but certainly there's still a lot that's on the sidelines. So if these guys were going to have to kind of, basically pay for what they're, you know, there's investors that are paying them to allocate money.
Yeah, something.
There's going to be money that they're going to have to put into the market because they're not getting paid to sit on cash, you know. Correct. So that's I think where we're going, and I don't know if it's going to be a blast off rally, but I just think we're going to kind of continue to muddle along, mm-hmm. and there's going to be dips and there's going to be rips, and you got to be able to play both.
Hey, Wiz and Christian, this is Jim. I got to take off right now. I want to thank you guys for having me on the broadcast with you guys, and I hope I can get back with you again soon.
Jim, how do the folks reach out to you and get a hold of you?
David was going to...
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. All right, have a good day, and thanks a lot, you guys.
You bet, bro. We'll talk to you later. So, folks, I need to wrap up a little bit too because I'm back to back. But I think Christian just put it through the uprights, folks. I mean, we got a low VIX. I'll throw my Gordon Gekko out here. Money never sleeps, and money goes somewhere. It's liquid. It fills voids. I covered today in our live trade brief, you know, emerging markets have just been phenomenal, including, even though we just bashed China, where's emerging market? I forget where. Brazil, been down there doing some good trades. So short story long, folks, what I'm getting at is we used to expect with this trade deal, a rip your face. I use this terminology back here. I said, hey, folks, once we get a trade deal, you're going to see a rip your face off rally. It's going to make the 2016, 2017 rally look like a bear market. I completely retract that. And I just it feels like it's priced in here. And we got to find some good catalyst to the upside to take us higher. You got to be aware of this type of stuff, folks. Last week, Pakistan, two nuclear powers shooting, fighter jets down at each other, intercepting submarines today. One of these things goes bump in the night and it's going to get uglier. So just at the end of the day, folks, make sure you're hedged. Make sure you're having a little bit of an ejection seat. Don't be in all, one asset class. You can own some stocks, but make sure you own some options too, man. At least go out there and buy some cheap insurance on the S&P 500 in case this thing decides to go back to the 200-day or even the 50-day moving average down here. It's a Wall Street-ism for a reason. Buy on the rumor, sell on the news. And if that happens, you can potentially profit. But Christian, what do you think about all that stuff? Anything to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of on the same page. I think we're both kind of just, looking for opportunities and being smart about it. So, mm-hmm. Just real quick, you could find me at on Twitter at C. Fromhertz. It's my first initial last name. We're running a part-time program right now, private Twitter feed. And you can kind of look to see what we're doing and my thoughts on day-to-day and how I'm positioning and catching a little bit of momentum trades like we did in the HUA today. But always looking for the new trend. And where the momentum is, and I've been in software companies for a while now, so I'm actually hoping that they pull back a little bit and give us some more opportunities, like your Salesforce and ServiceNow and names like that. So great to be on the panel again. Really appreciate it, and great always to listen to Matt's background as well. So impressive.
Thanks, Christian. I appreciate working with you again, and I'll see you soon. Real quick for me, guys, if you just want to check out what we do here at Top Gun Options, all you have to do is head to go.topgunoptions.com/goflight. Kind of like, Apollo 13 when they go around the room, hey, I'm go for flight to Gene Kranz, the head of the operations there. So for $38, you can join us for a week of free live trade briefs, and they're skill-based. We did weekly options yesterday, the primary live trade brief today. I'm actually in a crappy weekly options trade that I'm hanging on to because I'm bearish on the FXI out to Friday just because I think we're going to have a little bit of a sell in the news today. But anyway, $38. go.topgunoptions.com/goflight, and you can get airborne with us for pretty cheap. So with that, David, let me throw that back to you, since I got to jump on another webinar as well. Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to hosting again sometime soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. And yeah, Matt, you're going to be on Festival of Traders tonight.
You bet. 6 o'clock.
So for everyone watching, if you have a invite for that in your inbox, be sure to sign up and attend. Looks like almost everyone on the lineup for tonight or today is has been on my show, or on one of my time and research shows at least. So great lineup there. But yeah, just a great show. And a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recordings for this or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us for both shows next week, Crowd Forecast News on March 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and the next episode of this show, Analyze Your Trade, March 12th, Tuesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I just want to thank my guests again for this week, Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, and Matt Buckley of TopGunOptions.com. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you, man. Thanks, David.